Some difficult truths to start with. It's a broad brush, the title of this piece, and I think it's a little over-optimistic in many ways. Let's start with the big one. There is no magic bullet. I have no way. In fact, nobody has any way of making sure you capture all the knowledge, retain business capital, is the latest phrase, obviously, from people who are leaving. Okay, I have no one way of helping you do that. And coming looking for that, you're going to be disappointed. The answers I do have may not work for you anyway. One thing we know about complex situations is that the slightest difference right at the start, in the starting conditions, may produce radically different results. It's something I see a lot when I'm talking to people about culture and communications. Something that happened years ago in one organization completely invalidates an approach by another one. So don't underestimate the way that will work. The other thing I'd say is, particularly if you're facing issues right now about redundancies and retiring, it may already be too late. Sorry, I didn't mean to start on a very negative vibe, but you know, that's the way it kind of goes. Sometimes I think it's important to have these things. However, there is one really big piece of bad news that I wanted to put up front right away. If by retaining business capital you actually mean capturing their knowledge for us all to use, you're doomed before you start. Okay? Because frankly, we all interpret that as you're going to try and suck my brains out so that the organization doesn't need me anymore. It's the place a lot of people go with. Now, I'm sure, as educated people who are working in this field, that's not your intention. You don't want to suck anyone's brains out. Well, okay, one or two. But for the most part, that's not what you're about. People will sense, people know when that's your intention, and they will react accordingly. Any pretense of something different won't work. So if you came hoping to come away with the one recipe and the process or product indeed or whatever that's going to make sure you capture everything before they get out the door for the very last time and pick up their retirement payment or their redundancy payment, I'm afraid you need to bury that idea now. And if you want to get up and leave the room at this point, I'd be quite understanding. So, some basic principles anyway, regardless of the situation. We tend to try and capture, and I remember this from my days both in PA and IBM and at UNICEF, what we think are the right answers. And I don't think the right answers are actually that much help to you. I know one of the lines about describing this talk this afternoon was about best practice. I have a real problem with best practice. I'm much more interested in actually what was the almost good practice that went wrong. The second time you came around to it, you got it right. I'm running a project at the moment that one of the things we're going to do is go through and go, okay, what went wrong? But actually, that's not the interesting bit. What nearly went wrong that we just about pulled back from the brink? Because that's where we're going to get the learning from. I did this in a government department a couple of years ago. We were actually talking about leadership. And they wanted to know, you know, we need all the really good examples of leadership. And we had a group of senior managers around the table, and we said, no, give us examples of good leadership. You could hear just sort of the wind blowing very faintly through the room. At which point we went, okay, give us an example of bad leadership. At which point the first comment was, that's a really target-rich environment. How long have we got? But the thing is, they learned more from the negative stories than the good stories. And I think that's what we need to remember, is when someone's leaving, get the stories that went wrong. You know, I think about IBM, where I ran their communications in Scotland. The story about the day we managed to turn an announcement of 300 new jobs in the area into the headline story on the television news and the front page of the FT saying that we couldn't produce quality PCs. That's the story that has the real interest, and that was the story that woke everybody up. We need the negatives. The other thing I'd say about all of this is that it's about the people. So often we're trying to build in the process. You know, PA had this fantastic, I think it was a 35-page questionnaire just before I left. This was about 94. That to be filled in, put all your knowledge here about your topic, your subject area. Oh, what? For a start, it's impossible to fill it in. But it's not about that process. Knowledge is a social thing. So it's got to be about people. You've got to deal with that element of it above and beyond everything else. I put here best practice rarely is, because I have one of the problems I have with best practice, in the same way I've argued in the past about ISO 9001, investors in people, all of this stuff, right now we need to innovate more than anything else, and best practice leaves no room for that. Best practice too often also leaves no context. Best practice when I was at IBM running their communications in Scotland changed dramatically the year before I left, when they actually got around to putting PCs on desks. This was in 97. We were actually the manufacturing site for Europe's PCs and had been for about 10 years. So the fact we hadn't got them on our desks was disappointing. But actually, it radically changed at that point. So best practice up to that point would have been no good after it, and even more so since BlackBerries or social media. Best practice doesn't last long. There are places, I'll grant you, where best practice does work, but it's not often. My other point is, too often we take it to an abstraction and then farm it out to people as the knowledge, as the information. So we take it out of context and we build it into what you do in this situation is da-da-da-dum, which may be great as a thing when you've done your thinking. It shouldn't be the communication to people who are just starting, unless you've got a process behind it. Let me give you an example. Does everybody here, at least, are allowed to drive in the UK? Has passed the driving test, yeah? Okay. So you'll all recognise that. That means the national speed limit applies, right? Yes. So that was the one I got wrong on 3 consecutive tests. So, here's a situation. Look at it for a minute and just think about what the speed limit is if you're driving down this road. Okay? So, hands up for 30. 40. 50. 60. 70. Okay, well, congratulations. You're better than most. I went to one recently where I think we had 3/4 went for 40. The answer is this. The answer is, if you're in a car, it's 60. It was a single carriageway, so it's this column here. But the interesting thing for me is that, okay, this is an abstract value that we've all been taught, tested on. Our behaviour is supposed to be modified by it whenever we see it, and there are legal penalties if we get it wrong. And yet still there's a substantial percentage of people who don't get it, because it's confusing. It's an abstract value, not a concrete one. You take it even further, there's so much context in there. Where were you driving? What were you driving? I mean, actually, for those who said 30 or 40 in particular, if you drive an Arctic, you are quite right. Okay? If you don't drive an Arctic, you don't have that excuse. But this is what we do with too much knowledge. We boil it down to being the abstracts. What we need is the context, above all else. Okay, so some initial thoughts. If you don't mind, I'm not going to focus long on mergers, because only a couple, but don't underestimate the fact that people will start from a radically different point of view, even if you're in the same organisation to start with. I found this at a financial services company a couple of years ago, where the people who'd been part of, I think it was Allied Dunbar 5 years earlier, who'd come up through the same organisation after it had merged about 3 years ago, but they're radically different from people elsewhere. And you can't underestimate that in terms of the culture, in terms of the patterns they've built up in their heads. So whenever you say, we're going to change things, or we're going to restructure, half of them went, restructuring, I know what that means, that's redundancies. The other half were restructuring, oh, that was quite interesting last time, wasn't it? And they were people now working side by side. You can't underestimate that. If you're in a merger, the most important thing I'd say is help people to understand each other from the different aspects. There's a great tool, and I suppose I don't have to say this even though he's sitting at the back, but the future backwards technique, for those of you who've looked at Cognitive Edge, is a great one we've found in a place like that. And it's easy. Go onto the Cognitive Edge website. The methodology's there. It's a really good one for helping people see each other's perspectives and point of view. Retiring stuff, for those of you who got that. I haven't gone, can you capture the stuff and make sure we get it out of their brains before they get out the door? Ask them about what was a good moment. Now, what do they remember about their career? What were the fantastic days? Usually you'll find they're about 15 years ago, and the last 15 years have been absolutely dreadful. I've just been waiting to get out the door. That's one government department in particular, but we won't go there. Focus their minds on what's worked and what hasn't worked for them. Ask about their careers. If you get a group of them together, you'll quickly find there are certain moments in the history of the organization which were crucial, when they learned real lessons. One lot recently, it was the moment, and they all prefaced this by saying, I didn't agree with the politics, but actually when we privatized the railways, it was fantastic working around here. Didn't agree with it, but what a great time to be around. And that's when you got really loads of really good material about what it meant to be a leader. This was what we were doing at the time. If you've got people leaving, find out what they were around for. You know, trace back through their careers. What did they see happen? What were the big shifts in the organization? What did they learn at those moments in departments or the organization as a whole? And remember what I said about making this about people. Make these social events. Okay? The minute you say, would you like to just come in here on your last week? Just come in for a day for us. And we'll just try and extract from you everything you know. You won't get many people turning up. The ones that do, you don't actually want, trust me. What you need is to create social events where people are going to come in and go, oh, do you remember when? And you can put in newbies, you can put in other people into that event to hear the stories, to hear the context of what went on. It gives you decisions, it gives you the context. And sometimes you'll find that people will learn something to apply in their field, although the story they've just heard came from somewhere radically different. I just thought there's one story that really illustrates that, and I can't tell you that. Coffee might help, and I might be persuaded offline. The third one, redundancies. If somebody is being forced to leave, I don't think you can do anything. I think it is too late to get a lot of social material from them. If they are being forced out, they won't want to play. And if you force them to do it, I think you'll do yourself damage. Because I remember in organizations I've worked in myself, when there were redundancies going on, and somebody said, can you just fill me in before you go on the procedure for this? More than one person, I remember, deliberately gave false information. Yeah. You throw me out, fine, stuff you. And it'll be subtle, but it'll be effective. If people are being forced out the door, they will do what they can to get their own back. Not always, it's a great generalization, but be careful. The question also becomes, if technology is that valuable, why are they being made redundant? If it's a business decision, fine, they're just business. There's no element of who I am as a person in that. You need to be careful. If it's voluntary, I wouldn't assume they're willing to share either. IBM was fantastic. We had a great voluntary redundancy program. Lots of people took it, and funny enough, 3 months later, we're back, earning about 3 times the salary as consultants. So were they going to share the information before they left? Of course not. But that's not to say that you can't do anything. There's another cognitive edge technique that we've used phenomenally, which is anecdote circles. Which is, for those of you who've come across it, it's the sitting around a table, social environment, and it's competitive storytelling. It's like the four Yorkshiremen. It's, you know, it's sitting around, oh, no, you had a bad manager. No, let me tell you about my manager. You think that was a bad day? The day we had to do. And everybody does it. And it's a fantastic thing. We did this for Department for Transport. We were doing it around leadership. But what was interesting, we trained people up internally and said, right, now you can go out and you do this. One of the things that was very interesting was they said, can we use this, please, for every project we run from now on to both unite the team at the start, because it is, it's a very powerful thing, but also at the end to capture what's happened. And what they do is they record it. Particularly at the start, what they found valuable was that everyone sits around and goes, oh, what was the best project you ever worked on? What happened here? What happened there? You've got to be quite careful with the prompt questions. But they said what they started to learn was, you know how you start off on a project and 3 months down the line, it's kind of got stuck and it's all getting a bit heavy. And then someone goes, you know, this happened the last time as well. Thanks. That would have been useful about 2.5 months earlier. Okay, running these things early on with everybody on the team, you start to go, hang on, didn't you do, because you said that So what happened? And you get the context. Not only do you get the context of what decisions were made, what knowledge people gained, but people automatically take the learning out of that. And often you find it expands everybody else's horizons. Am I making sense here? We found that people who had come in with very fixed ideas would go going, do you know, I've just realized what I can do on my project now that I didn't actually think was possible just by hearing and sitting in and listening to other people. So these are fantastic things. But I think you need to implement them as early as possible. Just have them as part of the social network. And it is social. It is. It's the equivalent of sitting around in the pub. You know, if you have a Friday night where everyone goes down the pub after work, it's what happens anyway. But bringing it in-house helps. I think you need to build the social networks if you really want to take hold of stuff and retain things as people leave. Mix the people who are the experienced, sorry, Ron, greybeards, and the new guys coming in. And just let them have conversations and ask about what's happened. Don't try and codify it. Most of it doesn't work. And the other bit which we tend to get stuck on, and I can say this because I used to run internal comms, we tend to try and make it very businesslike. Is that actually an effective communication? Yeah. No, sorry, there's some offensive things being said in here. No, you've got to let it happen. You've got to let it be informal. You've got to let people tease. Any veteran worth their salt who's training up somebody new has a few little tricks you play. Yeah. I worked as an engineer at one point, and I got sent, can you go down to stores and get me a long wait, please? Just ask Bill for a long wait. Yeah, it turned out about 90 minutes. Yeah. Well, my favourite was actually being given the little tin canister with iron filings in, saying, these sparks for the grinder are dead, can you go and get new ones? I twigged by that point, but, you know, and in some places that's deemed as, you know, that's demeaning. That's not very PC, particularly if it's, you know, a different race or a different gender or anything like that. Allow it to happen. Okay? That social dynamic really works well. And once someone's taken their lumps and done something extremely stupid, actually other people will go, okay, now you're part of the team. Come and let me tell you what actually happens. You saw it all the time in places like IBM. Let it happen in your organization as well. The one thing I would say, however, on all of this, I said at the beginning, there's no magic bullet. There's no single process. I want to give you a new title, and that's pilot officer. What you need to be doing is starting to run small-scale pilots. If you pick up ideas from this conference, run it small-scale. Just find a bunch of people who are willing to join in and play, and then run it. Whether it's an anecdote circle, whether it's future backwards, whether it's semantic web stuff. Just try and do it small scale and make them social experiments. People love joining in pilots. You know, if you go out and there's a bunch of people who are excited about something, you go, look, we hear what you said and we want to try this. Would you be willing to get involved in a pilot? Most folk will go, yeah. And also by saying it's a pilot, A, you keep it low scale, low budget. The only resource you really need is your time and attention, and you need to make sure you're paying some. And also if it's a pilot, when some of them screw up, and some of them should, if they don't, you haven't been brave enough, then you've gone, yeah, we thought about that, we ran a pilot, we've learned this, we won't be doing that again. Here's what we learned, though, that's useful. So run pilots. If there was nothing else you went back with from this conference, I'd urge you to do that. Of course, don't run stupid ones. And bear in mind, for me, all of this is reinforced by this one quote. Every person's map of the world is as unique as their thumbprint. In dealing with people, you need to try not to fit them to your concept of what they should be or the organization's concept of what they should be. And to be honest, the same goes for knowledge. I'd say run pilots. And the other thing I'd just say is be brave.